Welcome to Is Able, the radio show about possibility, where we look at what a person with disabilities can do rather than what they cannot do. Hello, this is Dr. Steve Nurse, and this is our program on learning disabilities, the hidden disability. And this will be our last episode. We're going to talk about some new issues here and then also go over the entire series as to what we're trying to get through to you, what we think is most important to you. And I'm working with Dr. Linda Price, who is a former professor at Temple University. Linda and I have worked on a number of projects together. And one of the things that why we decided to talk about the issue of social wellness and disabilities is that as human beings, we are not just one-dimensional. We have skills and abilities and strengths, and we also have weaknesses. And sometimes these things go together or build upon each other. And by that, I mean that when we talk about persons who have learning disabilities, we also know that those persons have a much greater, some would say as much as five times the chance of having mental health issues, depression, schizophrenia, bipolar, you name it, these things fall together, and many times one builds on the other. As an example, again, you're feeling bad about yourself, you can't find a job, you have responsibilities you don't feel that you can do, and yet what that does is that could come from a learning disability and tends to cause things like depression. So, Linda, talk a little bit about the issue just in general of social wellness and how it involves social relationships.
Well, it's interesting because when you and I first talked about doing this topic, I thought we should talk about relationships and disabilities. And so, being the good scholar that I am, I immediately Googled that term, and it came up with marriage counseling and sex education for people with disabilities.
Uh-huh.
And even though you and I think, are fairly intelligent people, that's not what we want to do,
right,
is provide sex ed to people or to say, we're hanging at our shingle and we're going to give you marriage counseling. But I think it does point to a real important component, and that is, number one, we know people with learning disabilities and dyslexia do not grow out of their disability. So throughout their life, they're going to be surrounded by people. They're going to have to deal with people, whether that's, you know, their classmates in school, whether that's trying to date, whether that's their sister or brother. And it's those relationships that seem to be as important to the success or failure of people with learning disabilities and dyslexia as their talents and their abilities and basically, you know, what their disability itself is. Those relationships are key, absolutely key. And you quoted the statistic earlier that was from the CDC, it's from 2020, and it says five times the number of people with disabilities report frequent mental health distress. So we're talking people that have high levels of anxiety, frustration, anger, people that are chemically dependent. There's no statistics that I've been able to find, but you and I have had a lot of conversations about this. There seems to be, and I underline seems to be, a very high incidence of people with learning disabilities and dyslexia in chemical dependency treatment programs.
Right. And I
and
think
we could talk about that if you want.
Sure. And you know, I, as I mentioned before, I do some volunteer work out at the Women's Correctional Institution in Purdy, Washington. And one of the things we find out there is that the vast majority of those women have some type of learning disability. Most have some type of inability to deal with behavior and to deal with those normal kinds of actions and communications that occur in life. And along with that, the vast majority of them are also getting some type of medication for anxiety, something for like Paxil or you know, other types of similar type drugs. But yeah, and they tend to go together. Interestingly enough, is that in men's prisons, we know that they have learning disabilities, but they don't receive, it's much more not a male aspect to ask for help from a doctor to take a medication to help themselves be better. We also know that in social wellness, that relationships are important. And I'm going to just mention one thing, and if you could chime in here after that, Linda, is that, again, when I talk to the women that work in there that are incarcerated in the prison, good relationships is not something that they have as a component of their life. What they have are bad relationships. Now, these are all women, so the issue may be, you know, you hook up with a guy who's selling drugs or is on drugs or has a criminal record. You know, probably not going to be on the list of top 100 eligible bachelors in Washington State. But again, it's that ability to make decisions and to make correct decisions. And so that's one of a lot of the women in there, with talking about relationships, are in abusive relationships. Talked to one woman who said that her husband came home, she didn't, he didn't think she had enough salt in the food, and he virtually kicked her to the ground and just kept on kicking her. I mean, you know, those are not, those are relationships we need to get out of. But again, it's the ability to have good relationships. What would you consider, Linda, what would you consider good relationships? I mean, who should we include in that group?
Well, clearly what we're looking at is we're looking at people that are supportive of you, people that understand your disability. You know, in the last episode, you said, what is it that you want people to take away from the series? One of the biggest things is education, education, education. People in general, and specifically family members, they don't know what learning disabilities are. They don't have the foggiest idea. And so if being in a positive, healthy relationship implies that that person will understand your strengths, they'll understand your weaknesses, they'll be supportive of you. But if I can give you just a, can I give you a quick story?
Sure.
When I was teaching before, because this one just sticks in my head. When I was many years ago at the University of Minnesota, I was the learning disability specialist there. And they, I was told that a young man, a sophomore in college, was coming in to see me, but I had to leave my door open because he hated women. And at that point, I was at the bottom of the pecking order, so I just had a little office the size of a closet. So I left the door open. He came in to see me, and come to find out that he was being kicked out of the university for plagiarism because he could not read. He literally could not read. He was probably reading on the second grade level, but he had a lot of strategies and people had helped him out, so he was able to get to college. Well, come to find out, the reason why he hated women, Steve, was because his father was severely dyslexic, and his father couldn't read. And when this young man would come home from elementary school, his father would beat him with a belt. And he would beat him because he wanted him to try harder so that he could bring his grades up to read. Well, who were the teachers that this young man had? They were all female instructors. And so because of that, he had developed this incredible hatred of women. And now, that's a very dramatic example. But it also tells you that because the father didn't understand what was going on with the kid, even though he couldn't read himself, the son didn't understand what was going on because he could not read. The teachers didn't understand what was going on because they didn't know how to help him. Because of that, this young man had developed a real aggression and hatred towards women. And how could he have any kind of healthy relationships?
Yeah, that's really true. And I think, and one of the things you said that I really struck on was the father wanted him to try harder. What the heck does that mean? Try harder. I mean, I think most kids, it sounds so silly when you think, try harder to catch that ball. What do you do to try harder? It's like saying, you've got a fever of 101. I'll give you $5 if you can get it down to normal. I mean, it just doesn't, there's just not a correlation. And I think it's, for instance, if you're in a job situation, we've all had good bosses and bosses that were catch and release. And I think that that's an important one, for especially with a person with a learning disability in an employment situation, that you have a boss you trust, you have a boss that will listen to you, and a boss that will listen to what types of accommodations that you would need. Let's talk a little bit about some examples of positive social wellness. And I kind of have listed here, the first here is having assertive skills rather than passive or aggressive one. Can you talk about that, Linda?
Well, one of the real problems for many folks with learning disabilities and dyslexia is they have a hard time communicating their needs. And because what they have is an invisible disability, it's like they don't know how to ask for what they need, and the people that are around them don't understand what they're talking about. So you, instead of just, saying, okay, I can't read this, okay, I don't understand what that person's talking about, okay, I can't do this math problem, I'm just going to keep my mouth shut, maybe nobody will notice. It's helpful to figure out ways that you can talk and communicate your needs to somebody else in an appropriate way. One of the things we know for sure about kids with learning disabilities is there's a very high correlation of behavior problems. And we know, for example, that a lot of, unfortunately, especially young male students can become very aggressive or in your face. And they do that because they're embarrassed and they're ashamed and they're bored and they don't know how to ask for help.
And I think that's, I think that's kind of the same thing. I used to be really bad talking to people on the telephone and trying to, you call the customer service line. And I think for a long time I was kind of tend to be aggressive. And then I realized this person doesn't really have anything to do, with what went wrong with my product. And if I'm nice, I'm going to get further on this thing. And it is the difference between how do you ask? You may have a need, and it may be very important, it may be critical, but you need to know how to ask for it. You need to ask for it politely. You need to make sure the person understands what your issue is. and then move forward from there. And I think, again, that's what happens a lot of times is kids jump all over a teacher, don't think of what they're saying. I know, think about this, Linda, when we were both teaching years ago, when we had the stagecoach pick us up and take us to school, and then things got different. Then we got texting and we got email. And I always told students, you know, if you're going to talk to me in an email, talk to me like you were talking to my face. And that doesn't happen. Mm. Students said things in emails to their professor who had their life in his hands and realized that and used it to my ex. No, not true. But students would say things that, you know, you're crazy, Dr. Nurse. What are you thinking about this for? You have the wrong answer. You know, go back and do your research. Well, they would never say that to me to my face. You know, in an email, you kind of get a little bit angry, a little bit assertive, a little bit aggressive. And, you know, once it goes on the internet, it's there. And you have to be very, very careful about those kinds of things. Talk about the other thing is about maintaining relationships, too. I think that's important. Mm.
Well, and remember, again, we've talked in other episodes about people that have nonverbal learning disabilities,
right.
People that have executive functioning learning disabilities. You know, when people think about LD, if they ever do at all, they think about dyslexia. As a matter of fact, there was a study that you and I had talked about earlier that said when it was 2,000 individuals and they asked them, well, what are learning disabilities? They had no idea. I think it was only like 20%
right.
of that 2,000 people even knew what that was. But when they said, do you know what dyslexia is? The majority of them did. And it's because everybody thinks of LD as being, well, you can't read or your letters are reversed. That's where I think, you know, we're kind of dancing around this subject. When we talk about social wellness, we're not talking about academics anymore. And one of the things that concerns me so much that we do not do in special education or for people with LD is that we focus only on academics, that you can pass that test, you can get that goal and that IEP, you can graduate to this next class. If you look at the lifespan, Steve, of any adult, the minority of your time is spent in elementary and secondary school. It's only what, like 15, 16 years?
Right.
And if you live till you're 75 or 80, the majority of your life is going to be spent trying to get along with other people, trying to get into some kind of a marriage or a living arrangement, trying to have children or deal with your children, trying to deal with your family, trying to get along at work. Those are the majority goals of your life as an adult. Not the fact that you're only reading on the third grade level. So the reason I brought all that up is because one of the key components in any kind of an effective or a positive social relationship is communication. And as we've talked, a lot of people with LD have trouble communicating, and it's not their fault. They can't decode social cues. Remember, we've talked about that already. They, you know, like if you, like right now, when we're talking here on the broadcast, you throw me a question and I come up with an answer and then I give it back to you. Well, what if your executive functioning is all messed up and you can't say the first thing that's on your mind?
Right.
You know, it's like going out with somebody on your first date and you're all looking at each other going, well, what do I say now? Well, what is this person thinking of me? People with learning disabilities and dyslexia live their lives that way. They have trouble with communication. They have trouble understanding how other people perceive them. And so those are some of the skills that they could use accommodations for to have a healthy social relationship.
Yes, I think that's really true.
Long answer.
And yeah, and I think too we need to have we need to have relationships that we can have for long periods of time, and relationships that we can build on. We also need to have relationships that change. When I was going to school, there were a lot of other grad students with me or doctoral students, and we did a lot of things together and were good friends. And then, you know, you go different ways and you go into different states and cities, and, you know, you then develop new friends. I never thought that, some of the people that I worked with on my last series of episodes on Vietnam veterans, I became very close to some of those folks. Quite honestly, I didn't know Rick 2 years ago or 3 years ago. And so there are some relationships you really don't want to continue. No, I'm just kidding you on that. But it's those same words, Linda. It's resilience, you know. It's be adaptive.
Right.
You know, what do we hear? We hear be flexible. All of those things are really, really important. And so I think with that, let's kind of wind up this series. I want to talk to you about, and folks, if you're just getting in on this one, we've got the whole series about talking different types of learning disabilities. You can't just pigeonhole them. Sometimes we think of dyslexia, as Linda had said, as, you know, we're reading letters backwards. And I also had a professor tell me, well, if you read all letters backwards, it shouldn't be any more difficult for you to read, because that's the way you read. They just look in their opposite direction. So it's not that simple. Linda, in closing out this series, what would you say are some of the most important things we want folks to remember about learning disabilities, the hidden disability?
Well, I can give you four things. And the first one is, be sure and get an accurate diagnosis. The second one is, once you get that diagnosis, then figure out and learn how to use your accommodations. It's the same thing, exact same thing, as going to an eye doctor, getting contact lenses, getting your glasses, and then never using them. If you're going to get diagnosed, find out what those accommodations are, and then find out how to use them. And if you have to, teach people in your environment, whether they're your coworkers or your supervisor or your classroom teacher or the love of your life, or your sister, your brother, teach them how to help you. Teach them how to do that. The third one is, get yourself a social network. One of the number one concern that I've heard from adolescents and adults with LD over the years is that they feel isolated and lonely. And many, 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 many folks with LD, because they don't look like they have a disability, will be in denial, or the people around them will be in denial. And so it's important to find people wherever they are, whoever they are, that are going to be your support team. You know, when you go out to play football, not one person goes out to play football by themselves. You don't go out to score as one person. And you need to find that support team. Last but not least, and we can talk about this or not, Steve, maximize your strengths.
Right.
Find the things that you do well. And people with learning disabilities and dyslexia have it pounded into their heads for the time they're young children, all the things that they can't do. And this is not the touchy-feely, oh, okay, we're all going to compete and everybody gets a trophy. Okay, we're not playing that. This is, figure out what it is that you do well. For example, if you have a talent, Bruce Jenner is severely dyslexic. He's He was an Olympian. Richard Branson is a multi-millionaire, severely learning disabled, severely ADHD. Robin Williams, one of the funniest people to me on the face of the earth, he, even though he was never formally diagnosed with attention deficit disorder, he turned that into his career. You know, how boring would Robin Williams be if he only stayed on one topic all the time?
And also, he was one of those persons that we talk about here that had a learning disability, as well as having mental health issues along with that.
Absolutely.
And,
and
depression and those kinds of things. So I think
I want to be clear. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, and I was going to say, you know, one of the things, you know, you said have a network of people around you. And what I would add to that is have a supportive group of people around you, not people that put you down, not people that tend to bully you or put you in your place, but people that also want to have you use your strengths. There are persons with learning disabilities that, you know, have amazing strengths in music and like you said, Robin Williams in theater. If you have watched Robin Williams do monologues or do his thing, he's just thinking ahead of himself all the time. It's just
exactly
amazing. You're really watching his mind work and how fast it can work. I think the other thing, and kind of one of the final things here, is to have a sense of humor about yourself and about others. Don't know what I would do if I didn't have my wife to laugh with, and I told her a story this morning, and we laughed about it, and smiling is is really important. So I think that's really an important one that we need to work with, and we also need to be. The other thing I would say is we need to ask, not be aggressive, like you said, but we need to be assertive. And if we need something, we need to ask people. If a person is blind and they can't read the menu, and you don't have a menu in Braille, which many places do now, you need to ask for help, and not be afraid to ask for help. Many times in my wheelchair, I'll find a place where I just need to get my wheelchair scooted up over a couple inches, or I'll need someone to kind of hold on to the back of my wheelchair when I go down a hill so I don't keep going faster, which has happened at times. But I think that's also true. And so I think with that, I think we're going to close these theories, and we are going to close this episode. And Linda and I are thinking about new things to do in the future. And so stay tuned. And Linda, just say goodbye to everybody.
What a treat. Goodbye, everybody
on
the West Coast. Goodbye, everybody in the Seattle area. I'm talking to you from South Louisiana, so come join us and we'll Mardi Gras away.
All right. Take care and have a good day. And goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
To stream this or any other episode of Is Abled with Dr. Stephen W. Nurse, go to voiceofashon.org and look under the Shows tab.